True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rise and shine, people. It's a Friday here on The Daily Tip. Even if you stayed up late to watch Thursday night football, more football's on the way, and we need to get you prepped for it. In this segment, we'll go over the biggest college games on the slate for the weekend. And then at 7:20, we go on to baseball. Jinx's baseball bets were red hot last night. He went 5-0, so maybe you should listen up to his bet today on the MLB card. Then at 7:40, we have parlays galore. If you're like, listen, we're not in betting for minus 120 bets. We got you covered. We got Double D's Degenerate Parlay, odds of 264-1. And then we go with the Squad Parlay, where each of us gives in a leg, and hopefully we can win a big parlay for you guys. All coming up next here on The Daily Tip within the hour here on the BetMGM Network. All right, Jenks, I had a thought. I think that nobody drinks the Kool-Aid more than college football fan bases. Like, we know this all the time, that, like, the local media and whoever and the fan base, a lot of times they're biased, and that's fine. You know, it's fine to like your team, and I think sometimes it's even helpful for, like, local media to kind of have that slight lean towards positivity. But I feel like it's not the same for NFL fan bases as it is for college. Like, college almost feels like a religion. And in the NFL, it's a little bit more corporate, a little bit of separation of state. But this week on local radio, they have been, oh my goodness, just starting the party early for Tennessee, already with the upset over Georgia. And I understand a lot of the personalities on our local radio station went to Tennessee. But at some point, you have to like shake them and be like, listen, just because you went to school there doesn't mean they're the better team. Because half the reasons they list are just, you know, them just, you know, raising their voice. And, like, you know, making it a motivational speech. And you're like, well, this is entertaining, but I'm not sure if I believe the logic in your argument here.
Right.
Would you agree that you think, like, the college fan bases drink the Kool-Aid a little bit more than maybe any other sport?
Oh, absolutely. There's just more of a... There is more of a religion to it. It's more of a passion. And for so many of these fan bases, it's all they've got. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you look at Alabama, like the state of Alabama, what pro team are they choosing? They're not a pro team. Look at Nebraska. What pro team are they choosing? I mean, yes, these states have fans who have, you know, fans of different pro teams. But their team, like their team in their state is right there. And so it becomes more representative. It's easier to tie yourself with a particular team, and that team is more ingrained in your culture, and you know it's what everybody is talking about. And especially in the South, because there's so much tradition, like they latch on to these teams that you know, in a way that you hardly ever see. You'll see it in the NFL, but not like in college football. It's just a it's a different type of attachment.
I also feel like there's a different level of delusion where if there is a team that was good at one time, fans still think that's like the here and now.
Yeah.
Like, that's how I feel about Tennessee fans, because there was a time when Tennessee football was one of the powerhouses of college football. You know, the year before even Peyton Manning got there, they won a national championship with T. Martin. And then they had Peyton Manning. Like, those were the glory days for Tennessee. And people still act like it is one of the supreme programs of the SEC. And I just feel like maybe it's not, you know? But, like, I feel like I even have to whisper saying that, because it's not that way in the NFL, outside of maybe the Cowboys. You know, that's a team that's living in the past. But it just feels like one of those high school quarterbacks was like, yeah, we could have won state, man. And you're like, dude, you know, you're 47. Maybe it's time to stop talking about your high school days.
You know how long ago it was when T. Martin won the national title, right? It was a long time ago. But I get it, you know? Like, I've said this before, but when Texas shows Vince Young running into the end zone against USC, it's amazing. Mm. I love it. And then I'm like,
yeah,
that was 20 years ago. Yeah, I mean, Texas had a lot of success since then. As far as winning a national title, like, it's been a long road, and they've been close. They haven't gotten it done. So, but sometimes that's all you have to hold on to, especially if you're a school like Tennessee where you haven't had that sustained success. I mean, Texas went through a long, dry spot as well. But that's kind of that hope and those memories are what keep you going.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about this big game over the weekend. We do have Georgia squaring off with number 15, Tennessee, in Knoxville. Georgia laying 3.5 points, total of 49.5. And this line has come down. So clearly some money is following the Vols here.
Yeah.
But for me, I think it comes down to this. Like, how much do we really take away from Tennessee's offense when they played Syracuse and East Tennessee State? And if you are box score comparing and saying, oh, Georgia didn't beat the brakes off some of these bad teams, I feel like it's because they're running like the same play over and over. They're working out their playbook against some of these teams, and they're not worried about like covering the number. So when it comes to like teams I trust a little bit more, I think it's still Georgia, and it's still Kirby Smart, you know, who I feel like is the better coach in this situation. Josh Heupel might keep it close early. We know he's usually very good at scripting plays in the first half, but I still don't think that I'm completely sold on Joey Aguilar. Like, maybe he's better than Nico, you know, in this situation. And I do think Tennessee won that trade or whatever, you know, you call that. But still, we thought Nico was going to be the Heisman winner like the first couple weeks of the season last year, because he put up big numbers on some of these bad teams. So I think I am going to be on Georgia.
I'm going to be on Georgia as well. If you want to play this down to three, you can. I don't think it matters. But you have to understand, this line opened at 7.5 and then went all the way down to 3.5. Then we saw some buyback on Georgia. But everyone is so hyped about Joey McGuire, and I think he's a good quarterback. But what do we know after those first two games? We know nothing, because they have not faced anyone on Georgia's level. And I am with you. I think Georgia has been playing real vanilla, waiting for this game, waiting to go into Knoxville. And also, Kirby Smart has owned Josh Heupel. In their four meetings, Georgia 4-0 against the number. Also, in the last six meetings between these teams, before Josh Heupel got there, Georgia 6-0 against the number against Tennessee. So the Dogs have had the Vols number again and again and again, and I think this is just a sell high point on the Vols. Good team. They're not on Georgia's level.
All right, David. Gonna tag in here. You want to argue the other side? What's the argument for Tennessee here?
I think, honestly, you can. I respect the numbers. I truly do. But for me, it's more of an eye test thing this year, more than any other year for me. Yes, do they have the better head coach? I'll give them that. I think Georgia's defense is down this year, and I do not trust Gunnar Stockton as far as I can throw him, and I don't think I could throw him very far. That being said, I think this Tennessee defense is more volatile this year with Joey behind center, and I think their defense is better than Georgia's defense. I think Georgia gets upset this Saturday.
Well,
I think,
I mean,
you could throw Joey
right
McGuire a long way, honestly. I think you'd toss him at least 50 yards, double D. You're strong.
I could probably toss him farther than I can toss Gunnar Stockton. And I, once again, I have no faith in Gunnar Stockton at all. He looked mediocre in Georgia's games this year so far?
I just feel like Georgia, like, they have a bunch of, like, mediocre quarterbacks who they have, like, lifted to having great seasons. I think we had this conversation with somebody who was, like, on the radio in Atlanta, where it doesn't seem to matter, like, the high-end potential of their quarterbacks. They still get the job done. Like, that's the state of the program for Georgia right now is I don't feel like they rebuild, they retool. I'm not sure if I feel that way about Tennessee.
Well, I will say this, I agree that Gunnar Stockton is a bit of a step back, but I also feel like part of that is sandbagging a little bit. I feel like number two, Kirby Smart, will have the coaching advantage here. He's clearly one of the best in the game. Some people would say the best coach in college football. And also, the Vols actually want to run the ball. As good as Joey McGuire is, they actually want to run the ball on the ground. That's kind of right in the teeth of that Georgia defense. So I just feel like so many people are on Tennessee, and maybe it's the right side. But it kind of scares me because I see everyone going Vols, 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 Vols. And when that happens, I'm like, maybe I need to go over here.
Yeah, we'll see. I think it should be a good game. And I know Tennessee fans do have their hopes up for this one. All right, so speaking of coaching matchups, I think this low-key is one of the better matchups of the weekend. Number 12, Clemson at Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech unranked, but man, have they been good against the number against some of these big-time opponents. Brent Key, from a betting standpoint, is one of the guys you back when he is getting points. In 10 games under Brent Key against ranked opponents, Georgia Tech 8-2 against the spread with 5 outright wins. It's according to ESPN. So I feel like he's one of those coaches that you back in this situation. But I will say this. On the flip side, this could probably be argued as a buy-low spot for a Clemson team that had to face a very tough opponent in their opener. So, Jenks, do you side one way or another when it comes to Clemson and Georgia Tech?
God, I actually put in my notes, probably a good buy-low spot on Clemson. It was a direct quote from my notes. So, like, I kind of want to take Georgia Tech because you're getting the hook, because it's in Atlanta, because Clemson hasn't looked that good, and now it's down to 3 in some spots. Like, people are still buying on the Yellow Jackets. And also, Haynes King set out last week, so he should be healthier. I mean, they played Gardner Webb, so there's no need for him to play. And he's a great dual threat guy, but I kind of feel like you now where, okay, now you can get Clemson -3. This number has come way down, and everyone's on the Yellow Jackets, and I understand why people are down on Clemson. But listen, they still played with LSU, right? They had a chance to win that game. They struggled last week. They still won. It's still Clemson. This is still a national championship roster, and it's going to be very trendy this week to take the points with the Yellow Jackets, which I was tempted to do as well, but I kind of think it's probably Clemson.
I wish we were getting a touchdown with Georgia Tech, because I don't think they get blown out by any means. And here's what I keep coming back to, though. Like, I think I lean towards Clemson with you just because of the situation. Mm-hmm. But Georgia Tech is a good team. They went toe-to-toe with Georgia in 8 overtimes last year. And again, the track record speaks for itself. These are the games in which Brent Key brings his absolute best. He ain't afraid of no ranked opponent. So I think that this is one I'm going to sit out, because, like, if you have conflicting factors, just don't play it. But speaking of buy-low spots, if you are really looking for a bargain basement price on a team that maybe still has some potential, how do we feel about Florida getting 7.5 against LSU? Because, like, think about all the teams.
Yeah.
Like, maybe you could say Alabama is more down on its luck, but, like, Billy Napier probably is already looking at Zillow. So do you, you know, grit your teeth and say, okay, I know how betting works. Usually people see a play and they're like, oh, LSU, easy.
Yeah.
And it goes the other direction. Are you betting on Florida?
I would bet on Florida. And if you can get 7.5, then you get the hook there, which could be important. But I'm like you. Look, Florida still has SEC talent. Everyone is out on Florida, right? Everyone's done with Florida. Billy Napier's on the hot seat. You look at this line, you're like, oh, dude, Death Valley? Death Valley at night? Oh, it's over, man. Florida's going to get crushed. I don't think so. I think this is a good bounce-back spot, if you will, for the Gators. I'm not necessarily convinced that the Gators are a great team, but they have the talent to compete with LSU. It is still a conference game in the SEC, and people are just riding off Florida like they forgot to play football. It was sloppy against USF, right? Like, it was bad play calling, bad clock management there at the end of the game. The players weren't being disciplined. It was an absolute nightmare. But if you can get 7, 7.5 against LSU here, I think you got to go with the Gators.
Yeah, I just, it feels like one of those spots. For somebody who's been betting for a long time, it just feels like one of those spots.
Yeah.
Den, I know you like Florida a bit here. I don't know if you like it enough to put it on the card, but what's the case for Florida in your opinion?
Oh, this is definitely on the card. It's a team in a bounce-back spot with Florida. Everyone has completely written them off, and Billy Napier is not going to make it the rest of the season, but everyone's written them off. And you're getting a number against an LSU team that hasn't had a lot of success scoring the football. Defensively, they're so much better than they've been in years. But offensively, they still are kind of struggling in terms of getting points up on the board. So I just don't know that LSU is going to blow them out. So I like Florida covering the 7.
And also remember, Billy Napier was in the spot last year. Like, remember when everybody was calling for his head and they ended the season on this, like, great stretch? So, yeah. Like, he's somebody who's shown that even when people are calling for his job, he can still put his head down and string together some wins. So I'll be looking forward to that one. I'll be looking forward to the entire slate. And maybe if we can see South Florida continue to stack wins. They play number 5 Miami this week. They're getting 17.5 points, which kind of feels like a gift, but Miami looked pretty good. So I don't know. College football, always fun, always chaos, and that's why we love it. All right, coming up next, the MLB slate is loaded. On a Friday, we'll give you some plays to send you into the weekend with maybe some more money to bet on football. That's next on the Daily Tip presented by BetMGM.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back on a Friday, and this segment is dancing with the one that brought us, because listen, our baseball bets have been good, and I understand that it's football season, and some people are saying, baseball bets, what are we doing? But listen, our baseball bets have been good, and we like money, so we will continue to bet on baseball, and listen, some of these divisional races are coming down to the wire, especially in the American League West, where it's the Astros and the Mariners who are tied. And here's the craziest part, is that that AL West is so tight right now, with the Rangers yeah. only being 2 games back of both the Astros and the Mariners. There's a chance that, you know, the Astros don't make the postseason yeah. at all, you know, even as a wild card. And, like, obviously there's a chance that the Mariners don't make the postseason as well, but I do think it would be a wild sentiment to, like, look at the playoff bracket in Major League Baseball and not see the Astros there.
Yeah, and they just have that experience, right? So we've seen them, and of course they got Correa back now, but there's just something about having been there and done that, and once you've done that so many times, cheating or not, then you just you know how to pick it up, and you know what it takes to not just make the postseason but thrive in the postseason. But here they are, a team that, you know, we didn't know what to think about them early on, but now I feel like we have a better idea of who they are.
Oh, absolutely. Like, nobody wants to face the Astros in the postseason because right. you kind of know what is looming. And that postseason experience certainly does matter, as opposed to, like, a team like the Mariners, which on paper should be good. You know, they have superstars like Cal Raleigh. They have Julio Rodriguez. But still, it's just one of those teams that does not have my trust when it comes to the postseason. Meanwhile, if you're looking for teams who are not trending in the right direction, the Mets have now lost six straight games. And we talk about this every year where there is a juncture in the season where the Mets are going to met. Right now, the Mets are matting, Jax. They lost to the Phillies again last night. And listen, I understand they have Walker Buehler going today for the Phillies. Oh, no, wait. The Phillies and Mets series is over. But back to the Mets, like for a team that has a ton of talent, there's a chance they don't make the postseason. It's crazy.
I don't know what it is, man. Like, how do you continually, like, revamp the roster, add talent? Juan Soto now, like a massive bat. You make this big offseason signing, and then here you are in the same place as always. And they're relying on a lot of these young arms to sort of carry them to the rest of the season. Like, impressive young rookie arms, but that's not exactly the route you want to go down when you're talking about trying to make the playoffs and make a run. Because, sure, some young talent is great, but ultimately you want to have an experienced squad.
Yeah, well, I think at the end of the day, you just simply need to win games. So it's on the offense as well, because you need to have some run production and some run support for some of your young arms. It's just the Mets are one of those teams that maybe it's because they play in a big market and we kind of see the highs and lows more than other teams. It just feels like a really streaky team. And here's the thing. This time of year, you want to be trending in the right direction. You want all systems go. You want all the momentum in your favor. On the flip side, the Rangers, 7-3 over their last 10, two games back of both the Astros and the Mariners. Jenks, the Rangers were one of those teams that I feel like got a lot of hype in the preseason. And again, one of those teams that has a really good roster, a great pitching staff. I know Nathan Eovaldi is done, but still, the Rangers are interesting. I understand that, you know, people like to talk about the salary cap or lack thereof, it feels like, in baseball and say, oh, well, it's the big market teams that really, you know, hold all the cards here. But if you look at the teams that have, like, the most comfortable leads, it's like the Tigers and the Blue Jays, you know, and the Brewers have had a great season. So I think it's a testament to the parity that we have in baseball, and I do think that's a good thing.
Oh, it's great. I mean, at least for me, I'm not one of those people that always wants to see the big market teams. I think the more competitiveness, the better. And when you look at the Rangers, like, the Rangers are fun. I really wish Nathan Eovaldi was not done for the year because he was so good and has been good for a long time.
Like,
yeah, I miss betting on him every week. I was like, Nathan Eovaldi, ka-king, ka-king, ka-ching. You know, like, every week he was making his money. But I will say one thing for Texas, which is something they weren't doing early on. We know they have talent in that lineup, and now they're hitting the ball. So they've had the pitching, but they were having a hard time scoring runs. Even now, Texas is the best team to the under when playing at home in Major League Baseball, but they've really stepped it up at the plate, and that's why they've become more of a complete team and not just a light-hitting team with a great starting roster of pitchers.
Yeah, so with all that, you know, being said, very interesting game today between the Rangers and the Mets, especially since Jacob DeGrom is pitching, which, if you might remember, he had a long tenure with the Mets. So he's pitching back at Citi Field, in which he is very familiar, you know, with the surroundings there. This game is a pick-em. The Mets, as I said, are in an absolute free fall. Meanwhile, the Rangers, pretty hot right now. Jenks, are you betting on the Rangers today?
I can't decide. I was exhausted yesterday after seven bets in the car. Five baseball plays, so I'm like, oh, my God, maybe I'll take a break today. But, you know, I like the Rangers in the first five, and it's minus 120 on the money line. So you get Jacob DeGrom against a youngster in Jonah Tong. I was talking about those young Mets arms. Tong is one of those guys. Giving up four runs in each of his two appearances. So the Rangers, again, trying to make that run in the AL West. They're playing really good baseball right now. They're hitting the baseball against a slumping Mets club. Why don't you go with DeGrom here against Tong? And again, first five is only minus 120.
I like that because from a best baseball betting perspective, if you have a 0-0 game in the fifth inning, like, you don't get a loss. You get a push.
Right.
As opposed to betting, you know, a money line bet where, like, somebody obviously has to win. So I do like first fives for that reason. And I also don't feel like there is a noticeable huge discrepancy in bullpens. So I don't think there's an angle worth playing for the full game. So yeah. I do like that. Jacob deGrom has been in the circle of trust for quite some time, and he will continue to reside there, especially with the team that has more momentum going into this game. All right, Jenks, so I kind of hinted at this game. The Phillies and Royals squaring off today, and it's a familiar name for the Phillies, but not in that uniform. Walker Buehler now plays for Philly. He's 7-7 this year with a 5.45 ERA. Michael Lorenzen goes for the Royals. He's 5-10 with a 4.63 ERA. Philly -130, Kansas City +110. Total of 9 runs. What can you give us for this game?
I have a play, but it's coming from the sports basement. Okay.
Here we go.
Let's
go.
Sports basement.
Hey, Mom! The meatloaf! We want it now! Yeah!
All right, we got a new audio machine this week, and we're still working kinks out. Welcome to the Sports Base, and man, I gotta tell you, I've been listening to a lot of sports wagering shows this week, and there's been a lot of drug talk. It's really crazy, but nothing was funnier than when Todd got busted for huffing. It was hilarious. He took the Krylon out of his dad's garage and went to town. Tell me I'm wrong, Todd. Yeah, you guys suspended for a week, and you missed physical science and got a D. That was the easiest class we had. Well, also, Mrs. Grimes was hot. She was real hot. Anyway, okay, how about a bet? I'm looking at Royals and Phillies, and the Phillies are starting Walker Buehler. Anyone?
That was coming.
Buehler? All right. Don't at me. Everybody loves that movie, but the Phillies have been really good at home this season. Yeah, like Todd, good at huffing. I got you, buddy. Okay, let's just go Phillies on the money line and cheesesteaks all around.
Oh, man, Jenks. I want to clip off that segment and send it to the pharmacist that wouldn't give you your prescription. And be like, listen, brother, you're on to something.
This guy's definitely... Look at this guy. This is how he talks in real life. He's definitely on drugs. I heard through the grapevine that you might have some concerns about this guy. You're spot on.
Yes, Detective Chelsea Messenger on the case. But as far as a play in this game, I'm not sure what to expect from Walker Buehler here. Obviously, he's having an up and down season, but I will say this. The Phillies are the much more dependable offense here. So maybe if you think – about to burp. Okay. Maybe if you think Walker Buehler gives up a couple runs here, you go with an over. But it's 9. I wish this was 8. So at the end of the day, like, you know, I always rely on the Phillies. Like, I would always lean that direction. It's a good price on the much better offense, especially at home. Phillies are an absolute juggernaut at home this year, and they're also great as favorites when the market gives them credit. So I'd lean towards the Phillies, but I don't think I'm going to, like, I don't know. I'm trying to find the way to phrase this. I'm not going to push my luck. Because I bet on the Phillies almost every day of the week. So maybe I will keep it in my back pocket for a better spot for the Phillies. All right, so other games on the card. Tariq Skubal, we know he's in the circle of trust, but the Tigers are -210. Sandy Alcantara on the other side for the Marlins today. They're +170. He's 8-12 with a 5.67 ERA. Total of 7 runs in this game. Jenks, I think on the surface you say, okay, Tariq Skubal is pitching. Yeah. The Tigers should have no problem with the Marlins here. But I think as we start to get this time of year, like, I wonder if the urgency is there for the Tigers. Like, they still can get, like, the number one overall seed, you know, in the American League. And Tariq Skubal is certainly hoping to, you know, put the exclamation point on a Cy Young season.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You got to play him on the run line here. I think I've been burned by the Tigers before on the run line. Are the Tigers on the card for you?
I'm deciding between this game and also the first 5 in Mets Rangers. I think I'm going to go with the Tigers on the run line, though. Now, I will say that Sandy Alcantara has been much better recently. Like, he really has. He was a walking disaster early in the year. But this is still a huge mismatch with Skubal. So I think that when you look at this matchup, look, the Tigers may not get that last at bat because they're on the road. That's always a risk you take with a visiting team in the run line. We know that. But Skubal has had a total of 4 earned over his last 4 starts. That includes 14 consecutive shutout innings. He got a lineup behind him, top 10 in scoring in baseball. And so even if Alcantara pitches well, then the Marlins' bullpen is meh at best. So, look, I think we're probably going to see an under in this game unless Alcantara blows up. But it could be 4-1. You still cover the run line. So I think I'm going to be in the Tigers.
Well, just to go back to the run line, the favorite on the road, they're going to play the, you know, the ninth inning. So
I actually like taking road favorites.
It was a late night last night. The Commanders game lasted forever. But I think when it comes to the Tigers, there's two bets that, you know, you would consider either the full game run line, which factors in the bullpens. I don't trust the Marlins bullpen, or you can go first 5 innings on the run line. Minus a half is minus 130. So that's a pretty palatable price, but I do think, for my money, I would rather fade the Marlins bullpen as well. As opposed to saying, okay, maybe Sandy Alcantara has another decent game, and you know this game's tied at 0 through 5 innings, and obviously that would be a loser for a run line play. So I think full game run line for the Tigers would be the play if it does make the card for me. All right, free roll here, Jenks. What else did you see on the card? Is there anything else that you think warrants talking about here?
Let's see, what else do I have on the card? Well, I was sort of, you know, I kind of like the Red Sox today. Hosting the Yankees. I mean, this is going to be a great series. It always is. But I think that the Red Sox are a great chance to get some plus money because you've got Lucas Giolito on the mound. Luis Gil is going for New York. But I think the broader picture is the Red Sox have just owned the Yankees. Like, they just have this season. They're 8-2 against the Pinstripes. They've won 8 straight. I mean, New York fans were up in arms the last time they played where it was, are we going to beat these guys or what? Can we get past the Red Sox or not? Also, Boston at home this season is 44-28. So based on what we've seen them having a lot of success against New York, Lucas Giolito, 2 runs or less in 6 of his last 8. It's not a ton of plus money, but if you look around, you get maybe plus 105, something like that. So I'd be on Boston.
I think the Yankees have kind of been overpriced for most of the season, and they are a good team. But we saw this last series against the Tigers where they were laying $1.70 in just about every game of that series. So it just kind of goes to show that you're paying a Yankees tax. And the Red Sox are right there when it comes to record. This is very much a very tight race in the American League East. It's the Blue Jays who sit atop the division, but the Yankees are 81-65 and the Red Sox are 81-66. So like, this is a big game that could like flip the order, obviously, in the American League East. It is a rivalry matchup. And I do think the Red Sox, it's something about the vibes with the Yankees.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like every time I turn on the Yankees game, the bullpen is just blowing it. So I don't know if I am skewed by watching some of those games, but I do feel like the Red Sox certainly stand a chance in this game. And that's the thing in baseball. If you think the underdog stands a chance, that's when you get some plus money on the card. As far as meaningful games go, and teams that are still kind of fighting for some things, some other games on the card. The Dodgers. I know we haven't talked about the NL West too much, but they have a 2-game lead over the Padres. They play the Giants today. Ohtani pitching against Verlander, which you would think, you know, you're like, wow, Hall of Fame matchup. But Justin Verlander just 3-10 this year with a 4.09 ERA. LA is only minus 160, which I say only, but their offense is way better than the Giants.
Yeah.
Ohtani, I know, has not been dominant pitching, but still, I would lean towards the Dodgers in that situation. All right, coming up next, we'll get back to football and get back to some huge plus money. Our parlays come your way next here on the Daily Tip, presented by BetMGM.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. Yeah. You're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back, we're off, we're rolling, and we are caffeinated because Thursday Night Football was last night. Maybe we stayed up a little too late, and maybe we lost some bets last night, and that's fine. Because it's time to win them all back with some crazy parlays. Because that's a great winning strategy in betting, isn't it? Chasing your losses. JK, LOL, we're not going to do that. But listen, parlays are fun, and I feel like this is a great opportunity to use some of the free bet tokens. Because there are promos galore when it comes to football season. So if you get a free bet or like a risk-free bet or whatever, which BetMGM has just about every single week, you should do that now. In fact, we have a parlay boost token ready and waiting for you over at BetMGM. BetMGM account holders receiving an any sport parlay boost token this weekend. Score a bigger payout if your wager with the parlay boost token hits. Tokens can be used on parlays and same game parlays as well. So, Jenks, I do this every single time I sign in. I scroll across the top bar and I make sure that I'm using every single promo, and sometimes you have to opt in. Remember to do that. Click the details. Make sure you know, the parameters on everything, because sometimes you can only win up to like $10 or something. So obviously you bet $10, you do the max amount that you can possibly do, especially on those risk-free bets. But I will say this, I won big the first Thursday Night Football game, and I did really well over the weekend in week one in the NFL.
Nice.
So mama got confident. And then I bet a lot on last night's game. And I went a little crazy with some same-game parlays, in which Deebo Samuel ruined all of them. Here's the thing, if you're going to do same game parlays, make sure like some of them have different legs and there's not one person who's ruining every single one of those parlays. So Deebo Samuel, we need a better effort from you next week.
Hey, what are you doing? Did you send him a request on Venmo like all the other degenerates out there? Like, hey, you owe me $50. It's the worst when people do that.
Yes.
The worst.
Yes, because I'm sure he wasn't trying simply because, of the parlay that I had. It had nothing to do with his salary, his legacy, his family. No, it's
only Deebo
because of me.
Slides unnecessarily, just didn't want the contact there. A couple yards short of the first down. And you're like, wait a second, what's going on here?
Even though we have seen that, like, I think core memory unlocked is, I think when Nick Chubb, kneeled down at like the 2 yard line, he was like on a run.
Oh,
and people
yeah.
were like, no, I can't remember if it ruined the spread or something. Do you remember that instance I'm talking about?
I think it was just last year, wasn't it? Or right before the goal line, he just slipped down, took a knee, fell down, and just stopped. Like, imagine watching that, and you're like, yes, yes, huh. And then you're just shot to the gut, and he just stops short. I absolutely remember that. That was a big deal.
Bettors never forget. Like, that's one thing I've noticed. Like, if you ask somebody about, like, a specific game, they're like, oh, yes, I remember it was Russell Wilson and the Seahawks against the Eagles, and they had a chance to cover, but the Eagles go for two. What are you doing? It's a meaningless game. And you're like, that game was 7 years ago, Chelsea. Maybe it's time to forget, but bettors never forget.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Remember the imagine the Seahawks having the Seahawks in the Super Bowl when they were going for two in a row and they throw that pass at the goal line instead of handing off to Marshawn Lynch. I don't know who that coordinator was, I forget. But either as a better or being the guy who called that play, that would haunt me for the rest of my life.
Run the damn ball.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like every coach's wife ever in any football movie where she's just sitting in the seat, run the damn ball. That's all you had to do there. Run the damn ball. You have beast mode. All right, so enough complaining about the bets that didn't hit, because listen, we're going to hit some of these. Let's start with all of our parlays for the weekend, and we kick it off with Double D's Degenerate Parlay.
It's time to get crazy with Double D's College Football Degen Parlay.
It's week three. I say with glee. All right, let's get to these real quick. I am taking New Mexico plus the 15.5 at UCLA. Straight fade of Nico Iamaleava again, and that UCLA defense is horrible. Georgia Tech plus 3 versus Clemson. I just really like Georgia Tech this year. Oklahoma minus 22.5 at Temple. Temple's trash. Tennessee plus 4 versus Georgia. It's a straight fade of Gunnar Stockton. Missouri minus 27.5 versus Louisiana. South Florida plus 17.5 at Miami. This is me fading Mario Cristobal and him being up by 14 and going conservative in pretty much every game he's ever coached. I'm taking the under in Iowa and UMass, 43.5. And I'm taking South Carolina minus 3 versus Vanderbilt. Total parlay with the BetMGM 50% college football odds boost is a little less than 264-1. $5 will win you $1,322.84. Let's go!
Yeah, live a little. 264-1. But Jenks, I wanted to ask you about that South Florida game. 17.5. It feels almost like a trap, right? Florida just beat back-to-back ranked teams. 17.5 points. What am I missing?
I mean, I would probably take the points. I'm not going to bet on this game. It makes me feel like this is too obvious, right? And also, I feel like when it's Mario Cristobal, I don't necessarily trust a lot of his coaching decisions. I mean, clearly Miami's going to win this game, but I can also see him, you know, holding off the dogs or pulling off the dogs late. And also, what you're really banking on, if you're talking about South Florida, is Byron Brown, right? Is he going to be able to throw the ball against Miami? Because the Canes' defensive front is really, really stout. So, is USF dynamic enough to throw the ball around, keep it within the number? I think they are. I just feel like so many people are going to be on it, or it seems too obvious to me. But I like the Bulls.
Yeah, I think sometimes public dogs have fleas. That is the saying. Mm-hmm. But still, like, it's never Miami for me. Like, I'm either not betting on it or it's South Florida plus 17.5. All right, speaking of parlays, it's time to fire up another and go to the squad parlay.
Ladies and gentlemen, adults of all ages, it's time for the show parlay.
That's right. Step right up and try your hand at the squad parlay. And for the record, we have hit one of these, and I will never let you hear the end of it. It's like when somebody hits a parlay, they're going to tell you about it for the rest of their lives. Even when you don't ask about it, and you're like, listen, we're at a funeral right now. Maybe don't talk about your parlay that hit. But people love parlays, and let's give them one that maybe is a winner. So, Jenks, we're going to start with you. What are we leading off with in the squad parlay?
I'm just going to go with the Eagles on the money line against the Chiefs, and I'll go into a longer handicap later on in the show. Obviously, this is a Super Bowl rematch, but ultimately, I think the Eagles, this is really simple, which you can make it simple when you're talking about a line of minus one. Philly is laying a point if you want to lay that point. But when you're talking about a game that is a 50-50 game, sometimes the handicap is very simple, and it's the Eagles are just a better football team. And also Jalen Hurts in his last 16 starts, which include the playoffs, he's 15-1 overall. I haven't liked what I've seen from the Chiefs thus far very early in the season. So let's go Eagles on the money line.
Yeah, I like it. Keep it simple. They look like the better team. Yeah. All right, next up for me, going to the player prop world and going to bank on somebody who had a great week one if you just look at the numbers. Maybe he did not have a great end to the game, but CeeDee Lamb had 110 receiving yards in that first game against the Eagles. I think it's another smash spot for him here from a fantasy and props perspective. I'm going to go him to record 75-plus receiving yards against the Giants. I don't think the secondary can contain him, especially when he is getting the targets that he's getting. Like, the target share has not gone down. He had 13 targets in that first game, and now he's somebody that's more motivated. I don't know if you saw the video of him, like, after the game against the Eagles. He was there at the facility on his off day catching passes. So I think you have a motivated CeeDee Lamb. I think Dak Prescott's going to get him the ball. I think he goes for at least 75 receiving yards. All right, Double D, what's your leg of the parlay?
I am going to go with the Missouri minus 27.5 versus Louisiana. Former Penn State quarterback Bo Prubola is a guy. He has thrown for 617 yards in the first two games. I think that trend continues. I think they blow out the Raging Cajuns from Louisiana.
From Louisiana, that Cajun food. All right, Dylan, what you got?
Yeah, I'll just try to keep it quick here. I got the Broncos beating the Colts and covering because it's only 1.5. I think that's a safe. It's 2 is kind of a rare number in football. Anyways, Daniel Jones was historic last week. Do any of us think that's going to happen again? I don't think so. And Denver's got an elite defense. I think they're going to get to him and easily cover this number.
Yeah, great buy low spot, in my opinion, on the Broncos. All right, Den, you're finishing us off here. Who do you like?
I'm going to go Oregon laying 27.5 against Northwestern. I don't think Northwestern is particularly good, and I think Oregon has very quietly been really, really good. You know, they haven't played Power 4 competition yet outside of Oklahoma State, but they didn't look like a Power 4 team. And to be fair, Northwestern isn't a whole lot better than Oklahoma State. And they hung 69, nice, on Oklahoma State, so I imagine they'll be able to name their score against Northwestern. So I like Oregon to lay the 27.5.
Yeah, we were talking about this. I feel like a team total for Oregon wouldn't be a bad play as well. I feel like nobody wants to talk about Oregon. Everybody wants to talk about, you know, Ohio State, Michigan, but Oregon, one of those contenders in the Big Ten as well. All right, so here's the parlay. We're taking the Eagles on the money line against the Chiefs. CeeDee Lamb, 75-plus receiving yards. Missouri, minus 27.5 over Louisiana. Broncos laying 1.5 against the Colts. And Oregon laying 27.5 against Northwestern. If you play the parlay with us, a $5 bet wins you $111.67. Odds of just over 21-1. All right, so we have 30 seconds left. Who's running the parlay for us?
I don't know.
It could be Patrick Mahomes.
Could be Patrick Mahomes.
It could be Patrick Mahomes.
David Dimes isn't going to ruin our parlay, right? No way.
I don't think so.
I'm with you, Dylan.
I feel confident about that one. The Eagles feel too good to be true, though. I will say that. Because I, like you, Jenks, like the Eagles as well. But we've counted out the Chiefs before, and they've proved us wrong. So I don't know. I'm not rooting for the Chiefs. I do think the Eagles look like the side that has the more logic based on the argument. But somebody out there is saying, Patrick Mahomes is an underdog, Chelsea. It didn't work in the Super Bowl, so I'm not betting it now. So hopefully the parlay comes through. Hour 3 next here on the Daily Tip, reacting to what we saw between the Commanders and the Packers.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.